Well, church, we are talking about in a series on the Beatitudes. And this morning, we are focusing on this idea of mercy and what Jesus and the kingdom of mercy looks like, not in the way that we believe it should be administered, but how the way of Jesus. And so I want to read the text for you, and then kids, I want you to come on up to the blue carpet because I have something special for you to help me with this morning. So kids, if you're in elementary school, come on up, and we're going to read this together. So let's read this together. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. All right, kids, come here. I have a question for you. I need your help with some things. Come here. So come a little closer. Come a little closer. So we're talking about mercy. And so I have a question for you. I'm going to give you each one of these if I can trust you with this. Can I trust you? Okay, I'm going to trust you. So this one's a little, okay, you want this one? So here's one. Oh, you have one? Can I give you this one? Just hold this one. It's okay. We can wash our hands and stuff like that. Oh, let's replace that shark with this. Okay. Oh, who wants like a really big one? Lucas, you want a big one? Okay, here you go. Okay. And then here's another one. This one's pretty clean. Oh, would you like one? Here's a special rock for you. Okay, I have a question for you. Are these? Oh, so sorry. I cannot exclude you. Okay, so I have a question for you. I'm holding a rock. I got to hold it up for people to see. I know. I got these outside and it was raining. You know, I should have been better and got them the days when it wasn't raining. Bad move by Pastor Austin. But is this rock light? It's heavy. Okay, how long? Oh, you already put yours down?
Yeah.
Or pick it up. How long do you think you could carry this for? Could you?
This is too wet.
I know. That's that.
I don't care this
could you carry this for an hour?
Yeah. Sure.
Could you carry this for a day?
Yeah.
And not put it down? Could you carry it for a week?
Yeah.
Could you carry it for a month and not put it down?
Yeah.
Oh, some knows. Well, now we're getting to it. Yes.
I put it in my pocket. Yeah. Wear the same pants every day.
Wear the same pants every day, and you put it in the pocket. Wow. So whoever's parent this is, they got some smelly pants coming out back to you, right? Okay. But so here's the thing: could you carry it for 6 months?
Yes.
Could you carry it for a year? Could you carry it for 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay, so this, I think, might, depending on which, you'd have to, like, Blake, if you put it in a pocket, you have to switch pockets. Otherwise, you'd start, like, limping like this the whole way because you have it. Okay, so kids, now I need you to do something for me. Oh, you're going to carry two? All right, here, can you put the rocks back in here? Okay, can put all the rocks back in here. Yeah, you hear the thuds. Okay. You can wipe it on the blue carpet. It's fine. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Now, okay. Anya, come here. I need you for a second. I need your help. So stand up for a second. Okay. How heavy is this?
Oh, whoa. I can barely lift it.
You could barely lift it? Okay. Can you feel this? Okay. Yeah, there you go. If you want to feel it, pick it up. Yeah, there you go. Okay. What else? Here, anybody else want to feel how heavy that is?
I want to feel it.
Okay. Feel it. So take a turn. Now I have a question for you. Same question. How long could you carry that for? Could you carry it for an hour?
No.
Yes.
Okay. Could you carry it for a day? Here, Blake, somebody else wants to carry it. Blake. Could you carry that for a day?
Yeah.
No. Nope. So could you carry it for a month? Why?
Because it's too heavy.
It's too heavy. Some things in our life, while they might seem easy to carry when you have one thing, when you start to collect the same thing over and over, it begins to become a weight that you shouldn't have to carry. And so this morning, we're talking about this idea of mercy. Mercy being a weight that we are not supposed to keep and hold on to, but we're supposed to give away. And so I'm going to ask some questions of the congregation and ask you. But question, do you know what mercy is? Yes. Okay, you learned it, but you kind of know it's hard to describe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Haley, did you have an idea of what mercy is?
I forgot.
Yep, you forgot too. It's really hard. Yep. Lucas?
You mean kind.
There's a part of kindness, yes. There's an element of kindness, yes, Haley?
Like giving stuff away and not like keeping it all for yourself.
Oh, that is a good, like, we're talking about like giving it away and not keeping it for yourself? Yes. Sharing, right? You got to share mercy, right? And sometimes some are heavier than others. Anybody else have a clue? Oh, well, we have some clipboards for you, and I'm going to ask the same question to our congregation. So, in your words, what is mercy? What is mercy? Loving forgiveness. Okay. Yeah. So the aspect of forgiving others who don't deserve it. Yep. What else? This one's a little bit harder. Yes. Taking others' burdens upon yourself is a mercy. What else? Not giving what is deserved. Yeah. So that's great. So biblical mercy, as again, we want to all be formed biblically. Biblical mercy is not giving what is rightly deserved to somebody else. So it is withholding from yourself or from another person the punishment that they rightly deserve. So then the question is, where have you been in this idea of not getting what you deserve? Where have you in your life been treated better than you deserved? And what did it do to you? Yeah.
And he goes, you know, it's a holiday, you know, like, I'm going to, like, give you a warning this time and not write you a ticket. And I think as a younger kid, because, like, you know, the roads are really slippery.
Yeah.
Stay safe. There's reasons why we have speed limits.
Oh, yeah.
And I think before, like, I was like, oh, yeah, no, speed limits are, like, suggestions.
It's just, like, so average, right?
Yeah.
It's, like, not so serious. And I think the fact that the cop was kind.
Yeah.
But he also slowed down and explained the reasons why. And he was like, you know, I don't want to, like, punish you for making a mistake, but this time I'm going to let you go. And ever since then, like, I just think about that. Like, cops are really there to do something good a lot of the time and just try to keep us safe.
Yeah, so...
To gain that, like, oh, you're going to punish me for speeding. I'm going to get a ticket. Like, you know, you have this bad idea in your head of what you're going to experience when you talk to the cop. And
yeah, so Rebecca talked about, like, when you have an interaction with a police officer, she was speeding, and she talked about how she gave a number of how fast she was going, but it was paled in comparison to what actual speed she was going. And the officer, instead of saying, like, I want to give you the full weight of what this was, I'm going to let you go. Let you out of it, right? And so I don't know if any of you have experienced that. I've never, every time I've gotten pulled over, I've gotten a speeding ticket. Man, that stinks! I can't tell you how bad of I was a teenage fat. I had a lead foot, yep. Yeah, oh. So it is interesting when that is one moment where we can all understand where we get the punishment or we don't. And what does that do to us? Yeah. What else? Yeah.
I loved a domestic violence situation. Mm.
Yeah.
And coming to a place up here in Washington and being given a shelter
yeah.
that was full of, like, everything we needed, brand new. giving love and kindness from people for no reason at all, not feeling deserving, and it just gave us such tremendous hope.
Yeah, so when you're in a relationship that is unhealthy and you leave it, and when you leave that relationship, it is that shame or that you're not worth the love, and then it can drain you of like, this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life. But then the Lord continued to move in your way and start furnishing things with your life that showed that people not only cared about you, but loved you, and that is a representation of the Lord's love and mercy upon you. Yeah. Oh, one second. Sophie, I'm coming back. Yes, Sophia, do you have one?
So, for example, imagine if somebody, imagine if there was this kid, and then the kid, while the adult was driving, they took off their seatbelt. And then, the parents said, fine, this time I'll let it slide if you put it right now.
Yes, so Sophia talked about, this is, you're speaking for a friend. This wasn't Sophia. FYI. You know, a friend, while their parent was driving, took off their seatbelt, you know, and how dangerous that is, and then the parent, instead of like, getting a consequence for it, because there could be a big consequence if something happened dangerously, like a wreck, that you could be hurt seriously, instead of like giving you the punishment that you or somebody else deserved. A random example, of course. Yes. But then they were nice and they didn't yell at you. Yeah.
And having things turn out well, even though I didn't do as well as I could have, not only shows me that mercy and lifts the shame off of me, but inspires me to have that kind of mercy for other people when they wrong me or they are out of their integrity.
Yeah. Yeah, Victor shared like that when we're all human and we have this part where we just are living our humanity and our sinfulness in relationship with God, how God takes from us that shame, takes from us and still works good out for you when it feels like you shouldn't be able to. I think about that in the life of Israel, when Israel wanted a king and God was like, no, you just need me. And yet, as they live sinfully with wanting and desiring a king, he still blessed his people. Yeah, there's still mercy. Yeah, Buck, and then we'll come back.
Several near-death experiences in each time I'm allowed to live. And I guess I really think it's best to be.
Yes, so the near-death experiences that you're like, okay, well, maybe, Lord, this is it, right? Okay, I'm ready to see you. And yet, when you come back, it's that mercy to being seen. I love people that say, how are you doing? It's good to see you. And they're like, it's good to be seen. Talk about his mercies new every morning. Yeah.
Thinking about when I was an older teen, I found myself in a situation and I got into some big trouble. And by the time I was out of that situation and by the time I had gotten home, because my parents were notified, which it probably had been a couple hours from here to there.
Yeah.
My parents, I walked in the door expecting like big, big, big fall and discipline. And they looked at me and they
good answer. Good class. Good question.
Point A and point B, the few hours that had passed, they said, I had punished myself enough. And so it was just that.
That's good.
That love of a parent that was really undeserved because I should have gotten into some serious.
Yeah. Yeah, Christine talked about, and this is maybe a commentary for all of us as parents and kids, that when you are young and you do something that is egregious, that you know that has been, you have been, your parents have been informed what you did, whether it's by somebody of authority or another parent, and you have time to go home, and you are running through the worst case scenario of what's about to happen. You walk through the door, and Christine's experience was her parents didn't come down on her, laughed, and asked the question, what did you think was going to happen? Like, it's just the opposite. And so for her, being able to say that she gave herself enough of the shame, enough of the punishment, and so the parents weren't going to. Kids, I think that's all what we hope for, right? Like, we're going to do something terrible, and all of a sudden our parents are going to be like, it's okay. And you're like, ah, thank you. So here's the question that I want to ask as we kind of continue to work through. Is it easier for you to give mercy or to receive mercy, and why? Maybe I'll throw some softball, because those first two questions were hard. So, is it easier for you to give or receive mercy? Easier to receive mercy? Yeah, so somebody not coming down to you, and you're like, oh, sweet, I would always receive it. Not all of us are like that. Okay. Yes?
I think for me it's easier to give mercy because I want to restore the relationship and I don't suck up the damage, right? But I want to work it off.
Yeah, so that balance between, like, what Terry said was, it's easier for her to give because her heart and the way that God has formed her, she really wants to reconcile that relationship. But when it's receiving, you want to work off that imbalance. You want to do the work to make, you know, penance for what you're done. Yeah.
I feel like both are really hard.
Both are hard.
Because I don't know about y'all, but whenever I receive mercy, it takes me like weeks to get over it, finally.
Yeah, that's interesting. Micah said, when you receive mercy, while it is something that is given to you in full measure right away, sometimes it takes weeks to work through it. Like, it's almost like you've received it, but you got to process this whole thing of, like, what does it actually look like to receive mercy right away and into the full and to kind of wipe your slate clean? Whether, yeah, that's hard. Yeah. Well, thank you. Yes, Pastor Becca.
Giving mercy is really hard because sometimes anger just feels good. And the other part of it that's hard is that, like some of these examples, I'm weighing is there a consequence? Like, when is it mercy and when is it like, oh, I need to make sure there's a consequence for this?
Yeah.
It's really hard to discern sometimes, so it's hard.
Yeah, so giving mercy is hard because you're like, when is the punishment actually should be impacted? Like, the person should feel the weight of the punishment, and yet you want to give mercy, so you really got to discern, like, which is which? Yeah, I mean, for me, like receiving mercy is incredibly hard. I'm like, here, I want to restore the relationship, but I feel the shame so deeply that it's hard to get over. Yeah.
I think as a mother, it's really hard as a parent, I think, to walk that fine line of when I'm supposed to show mercy to my child for, like, deliberate disobedience and, like, defiance. When is it the right time to show mercy and just be like, okay, I'm not going to give you a consequence? Or like, yeah, you absolutely deserve, like, learn. It's like, will you ever learn? If I just show you mercy all the time, will you...
Ooh. That's a good one. So, like, giving mercy is hard. Like, as a parent, she talks about how, as giving mercy is, like, how do you know when it is, like, will they ever learn if you continue to give mercy? Like, as a kid, like, when should they feel the full weight of doing something wrong, learn, and then receive mercy later, maybe, right? Where it's maybe it's a one-off and not a habitual thing. Yes, Lucas.
When my sister still took off her seatbelt and touched the steering wheel.
Yes, so like when a set example, like when you take off your seatbelt and you don't, you know, it's easier to receive it than to give it. Yes. Yeah.
Just to follow up on that, does it count as mercy if it's not received as mercy? So if it's received as entitlement?
Is it really mercy if it's received as entitlement than the mercy of undeserved, withholding undeserved punishment. Mm, that's so good. Did you?
Oh. I would say it's easier to give mercy because mercy is a fruit of the Spirit, whereas receiving mercy, you have to allow your heart to change and be inspired by what's being given to you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so Salvador talked about it's easy to give because it's a fruit of the Spirit, and it seems like you're responding in the way that Jesus and the Spirit has called you to, but to receive, you have to do the work. And the work's not easy, and sometimes it feels great to be the one that administers versus being the one that's ministered to. So here's the question. When do we know that mercy... When we talk about mercy, when do we know that it's we're protecting a healthy boundary versus withholding mercy? What is like in the complexity of this idea of mercy, right? Again, things are gray. There are black and white things, right? But we know that life is messy. How do we know the difference between when we are just protecting boundaries versus withholding mercy? What does that look like? What's the balance between protecting a boundary and withholding mercy? How do we know the difference? Yes, Micah, let's go.
I feel like it's kind of the whole point we were saying earlier about the sermon. Like, do you, is giving this person mercy going to make them grow, or is giving this person mercy going to make them worse? Because I feel like there's a certain amount of faith and a certain amount of discernment that has to come in. Because if you're withholding, if you're making a boundary, you're not just withholding mercy, you're making a way that you can love the person in the capacity that you can. If you are withholding mercy, that means that person is trying to change, or that person could change, or you're just withholding an opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
Like, it's a discernment between are you doing this out of love or are you doing this out of anger?
Yeah, so Micah talked about like really that's involved in this process is a ton of discernment. Right? And we talked about withholding mercy, will it not allow the person to learn? Or is it, you know, by protecting a boundary, is it safeguarding yourself when somebody isn't going to learn, that habitually keeps coming to a place of needing mercy from you? Yeah.
I think one guide is when you have a sense of love and compassion for the situation. That's maybe the Holy Spirit working through us to give that grace to someone.
Yeah, so Ralph said love and compassion might be a guide of like what's happening deep in you. Like the Lord gives us these feelings that the Holy Spirit is moving in you to understand the difference. Like what is your root posture when you're dealing with somebody who has maybe wronged you and sinned against you? Yeah.
I feel like most of the time it's not as simple as like one person is wrong and they...
Daniel said this is great. Like we'd like to talk about the simplicity that it's just you're wrong, I'm right. And so what happens when both are wrong? What happens when both have contributed to the breaking down, the disintegrating of a relationship? One of the things that I think it's really important for us to understand when we talk about knowing the difference between healthy boundary and marriage is what Micah said, but a little bit, is discernment. One of the things that we understand is that mercy doesn't validate or give an excuse for sin done between us and God or us and one another. Mercy doesn't excuse it. It doesn't say, hey, like we hear that phrase in Scripture, his mercies are new every morning. But it doesn't mean it gives you free rein to be like, hey, I can go sin in every way that I want to and know that I wake up tomorrow, his mercies are new. And so when we talk about it, it's not condoning sin. It is knowing that we have to do discernment. And this is where I'm talking about. Sometimes for us, and we understand our sin, is that this is the time where we say, maybe I'm going to discern with myself only. And when we discern with ourselves only, we might often end to the place of like, well, it's just a healthy boundary. When actually, The Lord has called us to be reconcilers in the same way that he called us to reconcile. And so this is a part where you, instead of just doing it on your own, because you might have, you trust yourself, is to discern with the Holy Spirit, to discern with a pastor, to discern with a mentor or a coach, someone who is, you seek their spiritual wisdom that knows they're not going to give you the easy answer. And so when we talk about, there's not just an easy answer for this, but when we talk about discernment, what does it look like for us as a body to know that there's some things that we need to create healthy boundaries and say, because you continually sin and harm me and you don't learn, you don't change, that I need to separate myself, creating a healthy boundary until now the Lord does the work in that person to bring transformation. When we talk about mercy, we want to say that it is a process, that mercy is a process of both freely receiving and freely giving. Freely receiving and freely living. When the scripture says the blessed person, the good life is experiencing someone who both receives mercy and gives mercy. One of the things that, you know, when we come over and feel this weight is that I want us to understand something really clearly. When it says, blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy, I don't want you to read it as the world would read it, as a theoretical conditional statement that you are just obliged to do because it's in red letters and Jesus said it. That's how the world would sometimes say it. It's like, it's just an obligation. If I don't feel it, but to follow Jesus means I want to receive mercy. And if I want to receive mercy between me and God and other, I have to be merciful. And so you just walk out in these doldrums and say, like, I have to. Not that you get to. That you go we move from a theoretical understanding of mercy to an experiential understanding of mercy. That as we receive the mercy, we then understand how to give it. You can't give what you have never received. Also, we have mercy when you carry it around. We have to get away from this idea that we need to carry it because we got to earn it and work through it. But carrying the weight of mercy, when not giving it away and not receiving it, will be a weight that you're never meant to carry. When we talked about this, what is light might feel like I can carry it for a day. But if you carry an extra 100 pounds of weight every day, it is going to do something to your body that you are not meant to do to your body. Also, in the same way, we have to get rid of the weight of mercy, of withholding mercy. Because when we do this, one of the things that when we talked about why would we use rocks is it's not only a weight that we carry that will distort our understanding of God, but also, if someone has sinned against you, and then you hold their mercy, and you're deciding whether you're going to give it to them or not, you can either choose for this to be grace and a releasing, or you can use it as a weapon. There's a reason why stones were used as an instrument of death. That you can take the sin, instead of showing mercy, you can take the sin and you can punish. You can give them what they rightly deserve. Death. Death of a relationship. Death of physicality. Death of body. When we withhold giving mercy, we hold on to the sin that has happened in relationships between us and other people. And we can use it as a weapon, or we can use it as an instrument of freedom. There's a reason why when Jesus had the woman come in front of him and all of the Pharisees had rocks and said, "Jesus, give us the word." And he looked down in loving forgiveness and mercy and he said to those around, "Any of you who have not sinned against me or one another, you have the right to throw this." And every one of them dropped. You're not meant to carry it as a burden on yourself or as a weapon to be used. It is a gift that you receive and a gift you give. Father, God, we ask that you would be the Lord of mercies. That your word says that you, God, delight in giving mercy. Father, what does that look like to be people that delight in the same way that you do about giving mercy? Father, would you send the Holy Spirit to ask us those deep questions? Do we delight? Do we delight in receiving your mercy? Do we, Father, keep you? Do we not receive your mercy? And so thus, taking away the delight that you love to give to us. And in the same way, do we withhold it from others? And so, Father, we pray that you send the Holy Spirit to continue to speaking, as the Spirit always has been and always will speak. But would you open our ears to hear? We ask this in your name. Amen.